This is where we have a unit meeting, board meeting.
Member Ricky Edwards gives me a tour of Central Indiana Clubhouse on the west side of Indianapolis. It's a repurposed insurance headquarters. The building is set up like many community centers, with a main room, kitchen, conference rooms, workout space, and a library. No one spends the night here, and they don't host formal support groups or therapy. A code of standards is posted on the wall.
It says all work in the clubhouse is designed to help members regain self-worth, purpose, and confidence. It is not intended to be just
This is Savella Perry, who joined last April. She was 21 when she was diagnosed with undifferentiated schizophrenia. She's been in and out of hospitals, clinics, and classes.
They help you with your illness. They give you your medicine. They treat your diagnosis. They give you a class. But the thing that they lack was to me, was a lot of compassion. When you get sick, are you going to commit suicide, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you're not called back the next day.
Clubhouse uses a different model of rehabilitation. Members help with paperwork and outreach, or could lead classes on things like music. These activities are designed to help them build confidence, independence, and work on skill sets. And internationally accredited clubhouses have recorded success helping people re-enter the workforce, a 60% higher job placement outcome than similar programs without accreditation. So why the funding cut in 2009? Medicaid used to fund approximately 20 clubhouse-like centers around Indiana, but an internal study uncovered that many were operating drop-in programs and billing themselves as clubhouse, not following its evidence-based practice. So the state withdrew Medicaid funding for all of them. Member Chuck Lynn remembers when his clubhouse closed. Lynn has cerebral palsy, so Central Indiana Clubhouse Executive Director Jay Brubaker helps us to understand him for this interview.
I know no way to go. I did home all the time and not tonight.
When it shut down, I didn't know where to go, and I stayed home all the time.
Almost immediately, Lynn and others around the state started working at a grassroots level to raise money to bring Clubhouse back or keep the doors open.
Clubhouse not a daycare.
Clubhouse isn't a daycare.
No, you are a work day order.
We have a work order day.
Help people to get back in life.
We help people get back to their lives.
But Brubaker says that grassroots money is not enough. He says Medicaid funding allows them to help more people, saying the need for this type of help in Central Indiana alone is significant.
We think that there's probably the need for about an average of 200 to 250 people a day to be able to go to a clubhouse, which would mean somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 800 to 1,000 people that could be what we would call active members, which would mean have been to Clubhouse sometime in about the last 90 days.
Supporters say the Clubhouse model that costs about $3,500 per person annually will lower costs in the long run by helping people like Ricky Edwards.
Now, this room is my personal room.
He began working at a local cleaner's last November through the Clubhouse Transitional Employment Program. At Clubhouse, Edwards is able to give music lessons to other members.
I don't give up on them, because if you want to learn something, I take the time. I don't give up on you, right? I said, you can do it.
Indiana's Medicaid agency has crafted a new code that will reimburse accredited clubhouses. Central Indiana Clubhouse is about halfway through the process of becoming accredited. The Family and Social Services Administration cannot disclose the amount of Medicaid money accredited clubhouses will receive, but it has submitted the code changes and is awaiting approval. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Jill Sheridan in Indianapolis.